In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Our Lady, Seat of Wisdom. Our Lady, Queen of the Angels. For those of you who were here for Mass this morning would have heard that today for the Franciscans is a very special solemnity. We celebrate Our Lady of the Portiuncula, which means a small portion, or Our Lady Mary of the Angels. And it's not just for the Franciscans, although we are the only ones maybe who celebrate it liturgically. The fruits of this great feast are open for everyone in the Church. The indulgence is open for everyone. It used to be that it would just be you had to go to the Portiuncula to get the indulgence, which is in Assisi in Italy. Then it was extended to every Franciscan church, and then it was extended to every parish church. So great is God's mercy and the mercy of the Church, the willingness of the Church to spread God's graces all throughout her members. But how did this come about? Father Angelo this morning in the homily gave a summary somewhat. But there's another aspect which is very important. This grace of an indulgence, that of a plenary possibility of a plenary indulgence, that is all the temporal punishment due to sin, that is all the sins which have been forgiven that merit a punishment, or there needs to be some reparation, some repair work done. So any time that you might have had to spend in purgatory, it's all washed away with the plenary indulgence. So it's a big thing. It's no small thing. This grace ultimately, though, was given very clearly through the mediation of the Blessed Virgin Mary. The story, in a slightly more detailed form, was as St. Francis there was praying in this little chapel of the Portiuncula. It's a very, very small chapel. It's just as it was the place where I had the great grace to celebrate my first Holy Mass as a priest. And in this very, very small chapel, as St. Francis was praying, our Lord appeared to him and said, "Ask anything you want of me, anything at all." Now, we've heard this recently in the readings, I think it was last Sunday, when God asked the same thing of Solomon. "Ask anything of me." Solomon asked for wisdom, for prudence, to be able to know how to make decisions and live well for God. St. Francis, I suspect, already had this gift. He had this great love for neighbor, and so he asked for the salvation of souls, the ability that these souls would get to paradise ever more quickly. As Father Angelo again was saying this morning, "I want you to go to paradise," he would say to people. And this is a big thing. And interestingly enough, our Lord says to St. Francis, "That's a big thing that you're asking. A plenary indulgence for any souls, any people that come here on this day. But if the Holy Father says it's all right, then so be it." It's funny, God deferring to the Holy Father. That's how it works. He set up the Church, has his authority. But just before our Lord said that, there was another little thing that happened. Because it wasn't only our Lord who was there. There was our Lord, and to his right, there was Our Lady. And after our Lord first asked St. Francis, "What is it that you will of me? What is it that I can give you?" And St. Francis says, "I wish a plenary indulgence for any soul that comes here on this day." Before Jesus answered, the Blessed Virgin Mary repeated the question, repeated the answer. She said, "I want a plenary indulgence for any soul that comes here on this day." She became the mediatrix for this request. And hence, there's no way Jesus was going to say no to his mother. St. Francis very likely understood that seeing his mother next to Jesus, that whatever he asked in the presence of his mother, he would indeed obtain. So he was brave and courageous and asked indeed for a very great thing, a very great grace, as Jesus himself admitted, this is a great thing that you ask. St. Francis knew this because he'd already made Our Lady the advocate of the order. As one of the great biographers of St. Francis, St. Blessed Thomas of Celano says, that we rejoice because he has made her the advocate of our order. And so, knowing that she was the advocate, he asked in her presence, just as a child might ask his father in the presence of his mother, knowing that his mother will temper either the response of the father. And so St. Francis asked Jesus, in the presence of Jesus' mother and his mother, his advocate, this great grace. And it wasn't for himself. It's a completely selfless act. He didn't say, I might be great. May I never sin again. These are great things to ask for. May my order grow to the ends of the earth. He never asked for that. That's what happened though. He asked that we might have some benefit in the graces that he has already received. And so Our Lady asked, and Jesus said yes. This is the way it always, always works. We all know that a good son always obeys his mother, even when he's a grown man. I know that if I go to my house and my mother asks me to eat, if I don't eat, I'm in trouble. It's so much more, though, with Our Lady, because Jesus is the perfect Son, and Mary is the perfect and immaculate Mother. And so there can be nothing that she asks that will be displeasing to him, ever. Of course, sometimes the things that we ask may not be ideal, and because she's our Mother, again, like a good Mother, she knows what to ask Jesus for us, and she knows what to say, I think you need to rethink that one. She takes what we ask and asks and cleans up our intentions, cleans up those requests that we have. She can show us more clearly what it is that we should be asking from God. And then she will ask for us. And we will definitely obtain what she asks for us. Now, obviously, when we pray, we can pray directly to Christ. Obviously. In fact, we need to have this close relationship with Jesus, with God. We need to speak to him familiarly. But when we bring Our Lady into the equation, it changes somewhat the relationship. And the fact is, of course, is that she's always in the equation. You actually can't leave her out. So even when you're talking to Christ, she's always right there. Again, like at the Portiuncula, at this little church, St. Francis, he was talking to our Lord. Our Lady's right there. She's always there. And she's always interceding. And she's always mediating between us and her Son. And that's what gives us, who have the great grace that we haven't merited, this great grace to know and love Our Lady, such peace and confidence and joy that we have such a great advocate also. You don't have to be a Franciscan to have Our Lady as the advocate, although it might help. So you can come and see me later if you're interested. But all of us, as children of God, have been given this Mother, the Mother who was the Mother of Christ, who is the Mother of Christ, is also our Mother, continually imploring God's mercy and help for us. If we want our prayers answered quicker, more effectively, and dare I say, even more perfectly, we need to go through her. It was through her that Jesus came to us, and it is through her that we return to Christ. It is a doctrine of the Church, not dogmatically defined, but certainly a doctrine that the Church has always held, that she is the mediatrix of all graces. Even in the Second Vatican Council and Lumen Gentium, the Constitution on the Church, she is called the mediatrix of all graces. Everything we ask from God comes through her by God's design. So let's not ignore her. If our love increases for Our Lady, it necessarily increases for our Lord. We love Our Lady because of our Lord. Without our Lord, Our Lady is nothing. Everything she has, she admits that she's received from him. Her immaculateness, her greatness is an unmerited gift God has given to her. But she did respond perfectly to it. And hence, we rejoice at her response and we wish to share also in that response. Let us therefore take a leaf out of the book of St. Francis, this great man of this great charism, this great understanding that he had of all things spiritual, all things true within the realm of God. Let us also take Our Lady as our advocate, as our lawyer, as the one who will stand for us before Christ, not just when we're in trouble. Again, like a child will run and hide behind its mother's legs when he knows he's upset the dad, and you know the mum defends the little child. But in all things, let us go to Our Lady, to our mother, to our mum, that she might ask Jesus in a way which will be more pleasing to him and more perfect, to make our request better for our souls and again more pleasing to God. Because surely that's what we want. We don't just want to win the lotto. We just don't want these kind of things. We want the things that will be pleasing to God and that will save our souls. And again, something which you may have heard from me many times, our role here on earth is not just to save our souls, it is also to sanctify our souls. We are called to holiness, Scripture says. Our Lady is the quickest way, St. Maximilian says, the quickest and most efficient way to union with Christ, and holiness is nothing more than union with Christ. Let us pray to St. Francis, and an imitation, therefore, of St. Francis. First and foremost, in this trust that we have in Our Lady's intercession and mediation, also in this prayer of selflessness, he prayed for the others, always. His mission was to save souls and to glorify God. And it's in his humility, never relying on his own merits, never relying on his own strengths, but always relying on the goodness and the mercy of God and the intercessory power of his mother, the Blessed Virgin Mary, Queen of the Angels. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.